Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back. We're glad you're here with us tonight. And don't forget about our rebroadcasts on Fridays. And what else do we have to say? We've got upcoming seminars. You can find out about those at www.drpetallen.com or wantistore.com. We've already had our Monday night show for the month of May. And we don't have Sue here tonight, so we'll miss you, Sue. Pat Allen, you are on the air. What have you got to say?
Hello, let's go to work.
Sounds good. So tell me, how was your Monday night show? It's always a thrill, I know.
It was fun. I'm semi-retiring with less packed hours, and it's showing up in a better level of energy. I feel rested, healthy, and apparently making enough money to pay our bills in the office. So I like the Monday night show, and I like the Wednesday night show in Orange County. I felt good, and I felt, I just liked my work. So I think I've found a more moderate work schedule that is accomplishing goals while not wearing me down, so I can work better and longer.
I think that's excellent. So we have a question right now about Stockholm Syndrome. And we've got a caller. We've got a caller coming in. So we'll ask the Stockholm question in a minute after we have our caller. Hello, caller. Caller,
hello?
You're on the air with... Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. How are you tonight?
Thank you for... I'm okay. Thank you for taking my call, Kelly.
Okay, no worries. Have you got a question for us tonight?
I do. This is San Francisco. I have a follow-up
call. Hi, San Francisco.
Hi. I wish I had good news, but I don't. I was... you know, I was going over with Dr. Pat on how I had skipped unconsciously, moving to consciously, the continuity portion with my new boyfriend.
Yes.
And so we had a date Monday last week, and we had decided to be exclusive monogamous, but we hadn't discussed continuity. And then he lapsed in phone calls over the next few days. So by the time Thursday came around, he finally texted, and I kind of wrote an unhappy face. And I'd had some minor surgery, and he knew. And he said, I'll call you tonight. Work has been totally crappy. They've been working us to death, 10-hour days, and I'm feeling really sick.
Oh, hard on the body.
He's a foreman. So I just said, thank you for that information. It's uncomfortable for me when we don't connect at night and in the morning. And he said, I know. So he called, and he was like in the middle of driving, and he just was like, it's really been sucky at work, and I don't even want to call you when it's like this because I'm a Debbie Downer, and I'm thinking of quitting. And I was like, well, whoa. And I know you just had the surgery, and I haven't been there for you. And I said, yeah, it's just, it makes me really uncomfortable. We just made this commitment. And then, like, you go away in your man cave and disappear. And he said, yeah, I know. And he said, so let's get together Friday or Saturday. I said, okay, well, if you want to come by Friday. And he's like, no, Saturday would be better. And I said, okay, Saturday's good. So Friday he texted me and he's like, I'm going to have to work Saturday. But when I'm off, I'll come over. And he's like, so I'll see you manana. And I'm like, great, see you manana. I'm trying to be passive and not be exactly what time are we meeting? Where are we going? I'm being very, for me, passive. Mm-hmm. And so Saturday came and he texted, hey, babes, how are you doing? We're at work. It's super hot. I said, I'm doing well. When will I see you tonight? And he said, I'll be by after work. And I said, time. And he said, I'm off at 4:30. Then at 4:30, he texted, hey, I forgot to tell you. I took one of the guys riding in. We're going to carpool back. So I'll be back to your house later after that. I said, what time? ETA? He said, 6:37. Well, he called me at 7:30. He hadn't even left his house. And I could hear his seatbelt in his car. He's like, I'm so late. I'm so sorry. And so he lives an hour away. So he was supposed to be there at 6:30. And now he wouldn't even be at my house till 8:30, which is 2 hours late. And I was livid. I just
said, no, you weren't livid. No. You were masculine. You weren't livid.
I was masculine.
You were masculine. Livid is a feminine feeling characteristic. What you were was out of control.
Oh, and I yelled at him and I said, you know, you've been on average about 30 to 45 minutes late for all our dates, and I haven't made a big deal out of it because you do live an hour away and I appreciate you doing the driving. But it was a lower point for me. I had been waiting all day for him and we hadn't discussed the continuity thing exactly. Long story short, because I yelled at him, he said, I'm not coming. He just like basically by 9 o'clock, he said, I'm actually not coming now.
That's right.
And And I went even more crazy and said, you know what, you can't keep agreements. You're a total wuss. I want a man. Don't call me. I mean, I just was mean. And then I gave it a couple days because I knew this wasn't anything like a high buy. We've only been dating a month and a week. And I said, I wrote an unhappy face 3 days later. And I wrote, I hope we can end our relationship in a kinder fashion. He wrote back, I'm so glad you called. I had a wake-up call. I didn't do the right thing by blowing you off Saturday night, but I also think I did the right thing because I'm not ready for a commitment. And I said, I know you're not ready for a commitment, but I would love to hear the explanation. He said, I'll call you tonight. So that was last night. And he called at 7:30 or 8, and he'd been on a 3-day cocaine alcohol binge. He quit work on Thursday with the intention in mind that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he was going to go off with his new friends that he met and go just have fun in his turn. And just like not because he's been dealing with so much crap at work. He was just done with it. He was over with it. And so he said, I have to be really honest with you. He got on the phone. He said, I did the wrong thing by totally blowing you up. I said, I felt really rejected and that's why I lashed out. He said, I didn't want to reject you, but I'd been partying for 2 days straight and not sleeping. And I knew you'd be able to tell. And I knew you'd question me and I didn't want to be questioned. And I quit my job and I was just listening. And I was like, oh, and he's like, and my wake up call was on the 3 days of no sleep. I woke up at 12 noon and my car was being towed. So my wake up call was I had no vehicle and had to get my car back from being impounded $500 later. And I said, oh, so it wasn't the wake-up call that you blew me off for the date. The wake-up call was you missing your car. I mean, I was thinking that in my head. But long story short, then that sort of opened up some more windows of, you know, I guess he's been having some problems with this off and on. He had this problem with the last girlfriend. And I just said, well, and, you know, he's willing to see a therapist in this area. He's not willing to go to AA. He's not willing to go to NA. He doesn't like any of those things. And I have a pattern of being a codependent. And I just told him I love myself more. You know, I don't want to be with someone who can't keep their promises and who can't be monogamous. Because he was partying with girls and stuff, too. So I'm really, like, sad. I feel like there's been a hammer to my heart.
So neither of you are ready to be in a commitment.
Okay, so I feel like I was doing my part. Was I not doing my part?
No. What you were doing was being the man, which justified him doing what he was doing. You see, the smartest thing a woman can do, the most painful thing a man can experience, is when we have a life that we can live with or without him. And if they miss opportunities to be with us, we don't care. If all of you ladies out there are aware, when you don't want a man and you treat him like blah, they never go away. Do you know why? Because you're passive, patient, not vulnerable attitude feels like rejection, and they get back into the chase of capturing you. In fact, this man did a little bit of that too. But you ask for more, better, and different love, affection, time, and probably sex than his maleness can handle. Your best bet is to ignore what they're doing until they come back and want you back, whereupon you can say, I can't be with you unless.
Right. Well, so he said, look, we can talk about this again.
You asked him too many questions. You got him under too many contracts. You were way too bossing, mothering, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, you expressed, see, remember this following fact. A man must leave his mother's womb and get away from her attitudinally by the age of 10. Oh, mom. You know, if he doesn't get to do that, he either decides to stay locked up with her, which is wussy, or he gets to punish her by doing these things that he did to you. You showed him how much you loved him by how much you needed him, and he didn't react nicely.
No, he didn't. So he said, my last question is, he said, well, I'm done talking about this tonight. And now I feel like I'm on, like, being questioned, like, which, because I was. And I can talk to you about it more.
Mm-hmm. Dear,
I can talk to you about it more
tomorrow. You know what you're doing now? You're repeating what I already know, which is your codependent issue of mothering me into counseling you another way than to show you your 50% of the responsibility.
I get what you're saying. So he said to me, hey, want to talk about this tomorrow or the next day? And I just texted back, no, thank you. I'm done now.
Did you notice that he asked for something and you said no to him?
Yeah, I said, clearly we're not compatible. So I said, I've got news for you.
I've got news for you. My new book, it's A Man's World, A Woman's Universe. We're in charge of air. When you control the air.
I bought the book. It's coming.
I understand that, but I'm saying what's in the book is when a woman acts like she's controlling him,
mm-hmm.
He has to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And when a man is using mind-altering chemicals, he was smart to stay away from you because they knock out what's left of their intuition and brains. And they're better off abandoning you and finding out later when they call you that you're friendly and didn't care whether he came or didn't.
I see.
Being mad at a man is telling him, I love you, I need you, I'm codependent, I can't be me without you. And that's not true.
No.
My advice to you is, please have a life other than your man. And live it.
I do.
No, you don't. I hear that your life was dedicated to where he was, what he was doing, when he was coming back, did he come back? It was too codependent.
I see.
If I say...
But we had a date. We had an agreement. We had a date.
I got news for you. I got news for you. Your job is to show him how to keep agreements. And you know how you show me you keep agreements? By going back to your life when he breaks agreements. I tell you, don't wait more than 15 minutes for anything before you get back into your life.
I see. Okay. All right.
I want reality to teach him, not your mouth.
I see. So
raise
our last
right
text
hand.
Was...
Raise your right hand.
Okay,
I promise.
Raising my right hand. I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect the men I love.
To respect the men I love.
Even when...
Even when...
I know I'm smarter.
I know I am smarter.
And could do it better.
And can do it better.
Furthermore, I promise to keep my yang mouth shut.
To keep my yang mouth shut.
Unless I have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer.
Unless I have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer.
Now, nothing that I heard from you sounded passive, patient, or vulnerable. Vulnerable being, you don't ask, you don't do, you just say nothing. But
I didn't do that.
I know you didn't. You can say the following. When he does ask to see you, you can say, no, we're not compatible. You don't keep agreements. Or you can say, of course, I would enjoy seeing you, by way of giving him more opportunities to make and keep agreements.
I see. I don't know. Is that possible for him to keep agreements?
Of course it is. But he can't do it with needles stuck in his scrotum by your yang mouth.
Well, I did. I said, no, we're not compatible. You don't keep agreements. So I already said it.
What?
I said that on text. Because he's like,
you turned down an invitation to be with him to give him another chance. He was starting to make amends to you. But you punish him by sending him away.
Yeah.
Well, then I can't teach you because you were doing your game while he was doing his game. And that means both of you, starting with you, because you're in charge of the abstract, the intimate, the air in a relationship. And he's only in charge of, do I take cocaine? Don't I take cocaine? Do I meet her at 6:30? Don't I meet her? I'm sick of her trying to control me. I'm going to take the cocaine, and I'm not going to be there.
And I'm going to talk to the other girl.
It's called passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive. And that book on that is Living with a Passive-Aggressive Man by Scott Wetzler, W-E-T-Z-L-E-R. So I appreciate your power, but it's not potent as a woman. The worst pain a man can feel is the rejection of you not caring. When I learned this lesson, on one occasion, I put a note on my front door. I've gone out with my girlfriend. You weren't here by such and such a time.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you suggest I do after that last text? Just leave it now?
You can call back and say, I made a mistake when I refused to date you.
I don't really want to. I don't really trust him now.
I don't want you to trust. I don't want you to trust anybody. I want you to always watch people's trustworthiness. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitment you're willing to make and keep. However, in the world of erotic love, women want what they want now, and men don't react positively to being controlled.
Well, then I'll just give him as much space as he wants.
Then give him 8 weeks to miss you enough to make another run.
Okay.
Got it?
Yes, I
and
do.
Read, I do. And read The Fisher King Wound, the first third of the book.
Yeah, it's coming. It just told me it's sent, shipped. I'm excited.
All right. But read it because it's about what you're going through.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it, Dr.
You're
Pat.
Welcome. Good
thank
luck.
You, caller. Bye bye, San Francisco.
Bye bye. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
That is a rough one, Dr. Allen.
No, that's a normal one. I do that all day long.
Well, it's interesting.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, Dr. Pat. A guy has been talking to me for about 4 months. We've been
Hallelujah.
On 4 dates because we both have been traveling a lot for work.
Fine.
But when I
remember that, I want to say something. Too much proximity dulls chemistry.
Mm-hmm. But I asked some of my guy friends because I didn't know where this relationship was going. If this guy was taking it seriously or just playing around.
You didn't know where it's going. Who knows where your relationship is going?
I guess neither of us.
No, are you in a committed relationship with him?
No.
You're just dating. There's no relationship other than friendship.
Right. But like you said, he was trying to get intimate with me, and I didn't want to unless I was in an exclusive relationship. So I had told him.
I want you to know, what did you say to him?
I said, I don't do casual sex. That's for boyfriends only. And then he said, what do you mean, no casual sex? You mean you need, like, formal sex with, like, a bow tie on it? He was kind of making a joke about it. And then on another date, he brought up, you know, if you're not intimate with a man, a guy takes that as disinterest. And I said, no, that's not the case. I just need to know a man is serious about me and not just playing around. And he's like, okay, so you think two people should get to know each other before, like, too much of the intimate stuff? I said, yes. And he agreed.
All right.
But
so you're in a committed relationship?
No, he never said he was committing to me or gave me...
All
he
right.
didn't really give me I wasn't sure if we were.
What he's doing mm-hmm. is what every animal male does, whether it's an animal dog or a human. He's going to reproduce babies. Uh-huh. He has a dream of putting his penis in your body. So all men that are men are going for sex until you tell right. them the boundaries. And you do.
Right. So I thought, And then, but a lot of my guy friends are complaining that, well, he sounds like a player. He sounds like he's just going to, once he gets it, he's just going to disappear. And
darling,
so,
why would you call Pat Allen when you have all of those professional therapists at your call for nothing?
Because you're the professional.
I know that.
And I did something.
You know what you're saying to me? You're saying, Pat Allen, other people think what you teach is stupid, boring, and 40-ish. I want you to speak like my non-professional friends. Right?
No. No, I want to get your professional opinion.
Then my professional opinion is he's a natural man trying to get laid, which is nature's way of reproducing the species, and you're getting mm-hmm. mad about him wanting that because you want him to propose to you a monogamous, continuous, long-term, marriage-bound relationship. Isn't that right?
Yes. He said something like, if you're waiting until marriage to have sex, I think it's a bad idea. There's the divorce rate is really high. So I don't know.
My message to you is that don't put him down for wanting sex. Sex is not making love. It's just mm-hmm. physical pleasure, you know, with maybe resulting babies. But it doesn't matter because it's something that men like to do. And
right.
they truly
but if he's not
know...
Committing... Sorry, go ahead.
They know that they shouldn't get it, but their bodies say, go for it. And if you're smart, you'll say, thank you for asking, but as you said, I'm not having casual sex because I'm aiming towards marriage, and I need someone who is committed to monogamy, continuity, and longevity leading to marriage, and is willing to be friends until we know each other, until I feel safe enough to marry you physically. Because when women, especially premenopausal women, when you have intercourse, your body basically, unless you're a prostitute making a buck, or you're a drunk and you're in a horny state yourself, because women go male when they use mind-altering chemicals. If you're a virtuous woman, you will kindly say, thank you for the invite to be a little animal, but I'm working towards marriage as an adult human being. And if that is not compatible with your lifestyle, feel free not to call me again.
Okay, so that's kind of where things got tricky because I was almost feeling it, but I knew I didn't get the commitment yet, but I had gone naked, and then I said, I don't want to move so fast. So I think I confused him, gave him mixed signals, and then afterwards, he was still texting me, but I felt like something was off, and I texted him, no more texting, call me. And he said, haha, okay. And then he said, well, how will you send me pictures of you then? And I said, then you'll have to work harder pleasing me on the call. And he said, all right, winky face. But he never called me. And then it was my birthday last week. And
wait a minute.
No text, wait
a minute.
No happy birthday.
Wait a minute. How long has it been since you spoke to him?
A little over a week and a half.
That's not 8 weeks. He's got 8 weeks, whether you have birthdays or not. That was not your birthday. It was the anniversary of your birthday. You've been on the planet a few years.
Yeah, so I should not be offended or be angry that he didn't wish me any happy birthday.
You're right, because you're not even in a relationship with him.
Okay.
Where did you get the power to tell him what you wanted?
Because
is your
the
mother,
guy when I was...
Is your mother
no.
a man?
Yes. Yes.
And that's
he
where
can
she,
be very
you saw how to do it. Is your father a wuss?
Not really, but he will agree with my mom sometimes.
Wait a minute. Who runs the house, your mom or your dad?
Well, my dad runs the business side, and my mom, I guess my mom kind of runs the house side, but she'll listen to my dad. So if he has the final say usually, but she'll try to convince him of her ideas.
I understand, but does he go for them?
If he agrees.
I know, that's
but
called
not,
a man.
Uh-huh. But if not,
and they're married.
He stands by his opinion, yes.
Well, I want you to know that the man you're with is not your husband. He's not even your boyfriend.
Right.
He's just a little bunny rabbit. He wants to hook up with you.
Right.
And that's nature doing its animal number. And you
so
want to be
I...
human? What?
So how will I know when is the right time to be intimate?
First of all,
because you should...
you'll know it because he's courting you. You have the veto right, not the initiative right, until he says, stop dating other people. I want you
but
and I... What?
Oh, but... he's saying, you know, a guy doesn't really, is not really able to commit until he knows how, you know, the intimacy will be like sleeping.
No,
I mean,
dear.
Intercourse.
A guy will commit when you're a virtuous woman and say, I am not having casual sex with anybody. I will only make love with somebody that wants to make love to me and is willing to be monogamous, continuous on some planned basis, and long-term. And if you want to get married, it's got to say marriage bound. If you don't need to marry, then it's called long-term mating bound.
So if he calls me or texts me, am I allowed to text back or do I have to wait for a call because I told him not to text
no,
me?
No, I want you to hear
am
me.
Am I able?
I want you to hear me. Texting is not very feeling centered.
Right.
And many, many, many women don't like the cold-bloodedness of texting for more than a week or two. And that's
right.
What you're on.
And
website.
He's only texted me. He's only texted me in the 4 months that he's been talking to me. He's never called me.
Well, 4 months of texting is not very intimate.
Right. That's why I didn't feel
so
safe.
When you're tired of texting, you'll say just what you said to him. I appreciate you reaching out to me, but it's too cold to just text. So if that's the only way you want to communicate, I'm not going to respond.
So if I said that and I was kind of commanding, you said in a previous episode
it's not commanding. It's saying, you have the right to text me, but I'm not comfortable with the coldness of it. And I'm not going to respond has nothing to do with him. It's what you're going to do about the texting.
Right, but I already texted him, no more texting, call me. That's exactly how
no,
I said.
No, dear, you said, hey, little baby boy, no more texting, you gotta call me.
Yeah, that wasn't good. I know.
That was very masculine.
I know. So there's no way I can take that back.
No, dear, that's right. But if he has chemistry for you and he hasn't been able to put his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina, there's a good chance he's going to give you another chance to give him sex because you're desperately in love with him.
Sorry about that.
What is that noise?
Sorry, I'm sitting on the patio, so it's a motorcycle.
Oh, okay. Sounded like a voice, actually. So with that in mind, what you do is you wait for him to call you, and you'll
notice. What if he doesn't call? What if only text?
Well, since he's calling, since you've already told him you're not going to answer text, right?
Yes.
We'll remember that and give you a call.
Oh, if he really wants me.
If he's really chemically attracted to you.
Okay.
But it will be scary for him because calling and talking is much more vulnerable, much more sensuous than texting.
Right.
And if and when he calls you within the 8-week neurobiological rumination factor, which all human beings experience biochemically, if he by chance calls you and sounds kind of shy and stumbly, you are going to say, "Glad to hear from you. What can I do for you?" Whereupon he will maybe say, "Nothing, I just thought I'd call." And that will be a test call to see if you hate him. So there's probably...
So I can't sound angry.
You can sound angry if Spinster is your middle name.
Okay.
I'm telling
you. I can't have the conversation over the phone like, you know, I really care about you, but I don't know if this is going anywhere and you need to take me more seriously or anything like that.
Darling, you're not the man.
Okay.
He will ask you to stop. He will ask you to stop dating when he's interested.
Okay.
Are you prepared? Are you prepared to be a woman?
Yes, but sometimes I have a problem being confident as a woman because he's rich, he's tall, he's everything, he's the whole package. So sometimes I feel like I don't deserve such a great guy. And what can I do about that?
I understand that. I totally know that you're a norepinephrine addict. And the reason is you lack self-love for your feeling-centered self. You're so inadequately insecure that you want him to tell you where he's taking the two of you when you don't realize that he will tell you exactly what he wants if he's a man, and he will care what you feel about it.
Okay.
Do you want to practice being a woman?
Yes. And what can I do about that to be more secure?
The only way to get secure is to practice being a woman.
Okay.
Practice. Duty gate. Practice being a lady with a gentleman, even if he doesn't qualify for husband material. You need to practice being a girl, which is passive. Let him do the courting. Patient. Stop questioning him. He'll take you where he wants to take you, and if he doesn't go fast enough, you'll say, "It's too slow. I'm going to start dating other people." And he will then say, "Go ahead. or he'll say, no, I don't want you to date other people. And you'll say, well, that's the case, then this is what my boundaries are.
Okay.
But he's got to be the initiator, the leader. He's the pilot, unless you're the pilot. Now, if you want to be the pilot, there are tons of nice little boys. They might be 40 years old, but they're wonderful little boys.
I don't want to be the pilot.
Well, you sound like you were at least the navigator.
Yes, which I want to be more feminine and let him control.
Then would you please be passive, patient, and vulnerable so he can be competitive, conquering, and controlling you.
So what if neither of us are kind of willing to give in? Like, I'm not willing to give in to sex until he gives me the commitment, but he's not willing to give me a commitment until I have sex with him. But I don't have the security of him
incompatible.
Disappearing.
It's called incompatible.
Oh.
But luckily, if he's chemically attracted to you, he can't get away from that easily. That's nature's way of gluing him to you.
Okay.
But you will glue to him when he can put his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina. That's marriage for a woman premenopausal.
Yes.
All right?
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Pat. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Thanks, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
So, we're having a run of masculine women.
We are having a run of masculine women, and we see that a lot.
Any feminine what?
We see that a lot. You and I see that a lot. A lot of masculine women out there.
In America.
In America.
Yeah.
So what's the difference, Pat, between American women and maybe, I don't know, European women?
European women or Filipino or, you know, it could be depending on whether. There's a wonderful book out there called The War Against Boys. You know that there are school districts that don't give first, second, and third prizes?
Mm-hmm.
They want everybody to feel good, so they give everybody a medal.
Yeah, you know what that I disagree with that. It makes nobody strive for greatness.
What it does is cut the balls off any boy that's any even slightly involved, because they're built to compete, conquer, and control.
Exactly. How can
but
you strive for greatness?
The problem with American women is they want to compete, conquer, and control. That's what I'm dealing with here.
Yeah. Definitely. And we have
so
a question
here. The War Against Boys is a good book. What?
We have a question here, and this young lady says, is there any hope that a Peter Pan becomes a man if I stay passive, patient, and vulnerable?
Guaranteed.
We have a lot of chemistry.
Guaranteed. But while he's growing up, he'll say things like, you don't seem to like me very much.
Mm-hmm.
How come I have to do all the calling?
Oh.
Why don't you pay for half?
Ah. And here's
so what?
Here's another question. How can I handle the 8 weeks if I work with the person? Nobody
Very
knows
simply,
about.
You do business only unless he chases you.
Yeah. That makes
you
sense.
You do business only. Unless he says, how about lunch or something?
Right.
I want women to understand that a man's job is to get away from all forms of mother, hopefully, by the age of 10.
Yes.
And a girl's job is to do what would attract Dad to cherishing her. But guess what? Those Peter Pan boys grow up, marry somebody, have some girls, a girl, whatever, and they have no skills at cherishing women. We are right. Getting into deep yogurt here.
Yeah, and that's difficult to swim in. So I have a couple of girlfriends.
Let me say, I'm going to say something. When I have a woman as a client, I've got both of them. When I have a man as a client, that's all I've got. Women are in charge of the abstract world. Period. End of report. We are in charge of no thank you when men do not act like gentlemen. Men are men until they know a lady that requires them to be a gentleman. It's supposed to be his mother, but she's busy with her fifth marriage and her big building that she owns and her business.
Okay.
We are getting all of our roles mixed up.
Yeah, I see that. It's very, very evident out there, very much so. The follow-up question to the 8 weeks and the gentleman at work, but the smell of him and the detox, do I ignore him, don't greet him? He dumped me 2 times.
You be courteous at work. You are not going to make points with the boss or whoever by being rude to anybody. So be courteous to whomever, but keep it on a business level, that's all. And no, as far as telling him, it may take you a while longer. You know, it's up to 8 weeks. Not 8 weeks, 2 years if you're emotionally and physically bonded to
with oxytocin.
Somebody.
Right, with the oxytocin because withdrawal. So
that's right. And that's why companies very often don't approve of dating in-house.
Yeah, I understand that. And actually, I agree with it. Because what we see is their emotional relationship problems start leaking over into the company and the business. And it's bad for
absolutely.
Business.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, my dad ran a company and he had a policy. You know, he said, here's the thing. You guys start dating or something like that and it's going to cause problems at work. You're both going to go. Not one
That's
of
right.
you.
That's right. You're both going to go. That's yeah, exactly
because,
right.
Because it's absolutely not fair to do that. So the policy was, you know, no hanky-panky. Now, we did actually have a couple. One of them ended up leaving before they started. They decided that they had a lot of chemistry and they wanted to have a life together. So the gal had a lower-paying job, and so she left, and they ended up married. They have 2 kids now. And my
dad think that's wonderful.
Yeah, but they made a conscious decision to comply. And I think being in the workplace when you've been in a relationship with somebody previously could be very, very uncomfortable. I would not like it personally.
Right. Very good.
Yeah. I personally would think that would be something I would not want to get up every day and go to work facing.
And I appreciate that, except if the job is worth it, then you stay, but it can take up to 2 years to detox off of oxytocin.
And is there anything you can do, Dr. Allen, to decrease that detox time?
Duty date.
Okay.
Be unfaithful socially at least, not sexually. Don't trade a sex in for a sex. You just end up bonded, you know, that gets crazy.
Yeah, that
socialize, date, go on websites, Everybody will look like a dog, but you're threatening the in-loveness, the committability of the body.
Exactly. We are out of time. Do you have anything to say before we go tonight?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitment you're willing to make and keep.
Thank you, everybody.
Worthiness.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We hope you'll be back next week. Thanks to the One Institute for sponsoring us. Follow us on Facebook. You know how to find us. www.drpatallen.com, www.istore.com. Bye-bye.
Good night.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.